Come on, let's begin to magnify Jesus. Come on, lift your voice and begin to give Him praise in this house today. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
These are the days of your life.
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Water, you turn to wine.
Turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like
anybody believe that today?
Stop us. And if our God is
stand
Praise the Lord right now. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on if the Lord be for us. Come on if the Lord's on my side. Why should I fear what man can do to me? Come on in the name of Jesus right now. In the face of every adversary, in the face of every lying devil. Come on if God's on my side. We worship you, Savior. Come on, give him glory. Give him praise. Give him honor. Somebody shout the name of Jesus tonight. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Come on, in the name of Jesus, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Come on, nothing can take you from his hand tonight. Nothing can stop you. In the name of the Lord, oh, let's glorify Jesus in the house. He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the honor tonight. We love you, Savior. We praise you, Jesus. Someone clap your hands and give God praise in the house. Are you thankful for it tonight? Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Before you're seated tonight, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. There are several that are out sick. Let's pray for them. Also, Kondra had his wisdom teeth pulled today. That means he's got nothing left. That was, I asked him, I said, did they take it from you or did they release it? What are we going to find out with all this? We hopefully there was a flood of wisdom hidden under all those teeth. And we'll just trust that. So pray for him. I know he's going to want to be healed quickly so he can be back to work because he loves working with all these men who just tease him relentlessly. Pray for Sister Megan as she's homesick tonight. Pray for Aaron O'Connor who is home tonight. Pray for those that are connected with the church body. Let's pray. Savior, we love you. We magnify your name today. Right now, Savior, we ask you, God, to touch Elder Myers, touch Sister Megan, touch Brother Aaron. I pray right now, Savior, you touch Kondra, all the visitors that we've been having, all the families connected with the church. God, I pray that you would help, that you would move, that you would bless. Oh, let your will be done tonight, Jesus. Let revival break out on the right hand and on the left hand. Open the floodgates of heaven. We worship you, Jesus. We'll give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated asking our ushers to prepare to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Amen. By way of update, we have passed all of our rough in inspections, and so now the building is currently getting insulated and sheetrock. What a big transformation that's going to make. Also, great news today that Idaho Power is coming out to hook up power the end of the month, the first part of next month, so that's a great thing. That gets the parking lot moving forward. So we're aiming for that Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to work to make it happen, and if it doesn't happen, it won't be because of us. Amen. So let's do our part to be faithful to that. Amen. Don't forget your daily devotion, your Bible reading time, your prayer time, your weekly fasting, also inviting someone to the house of God every day. You've got to be active at it. Revival and evangelism is still the main thing, the greatest position in the church is a soul winner. So get out there and win somebody for Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together and pray for the offering. Jesus, we worship you, we praise you, we magnify you. Savior, we love you tonight. We ask you to bless the gift and the giver. Bless this offering in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
Take it.
chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Have a reason to praise him tonight. Come on, don't hold back right now. Lift your voice and give him glory. Come on, turn that fear into praise right now. Come on, turn that fear into praise right now. Oh, we love you, Savior. Go ahead and shout on a Wednesday night. Come on, go ahead and shout on a Wednesday night. Oh, somebody shout the victory. Come on, somebody shout the victory. The devil's trying to tell you you can't shout tonight. The devil's trying to tell you you're bound tonight, but he's a liar. Come on, give him praise. Church on a Wednesday. Oh, we might as well have church on a Wednesday night. Devil, you thought you had us tonight, but greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. The Lord's on my side. He's fighting my battles, and I'm just giving him praise. Come on, the Lord's fighting my battles tonight. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Come on, for shout, for God has given you the city. Shout, for God has given you the victory. Shout, because you're an overcomer. Come on, we're more than conquerors tonight. Come on, we're more than conquerors tonight. Jesus. God, clap your hands and give God praise. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We worship. worship you, Savior. I got the victory. Come on, I got the victory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Come on, clap your hands one more time all over this house. Come on, clap your hands. Lift your voice. Shout out to God with a voice of revival. I know it may not look like it by the crowd, but I can tell you when I feel the Spirit, it's revival time. It's Holy Ghost time. It's our time. Come on, it's our time. When we get through this, we're going to be stronger than we've ever been. When we get on the other side of this, we're going to be stronger than we've ever been. Devil, you thought this would hurt us. It just made us bigger. It just made us better. It just made us stronger. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. Revival time in Nampa. Excited about what God is doing. Excited about what the church is doing. I like Wednesday night Bible study, don't you? Praise God. Return to your seats. Remain standing. I told my wife, I said, I think our Wednesday nights are turning into our Sunday nights. I think part of that is because it's more routine. We got work, we got things, we got life, and we come to church. Sundays, y'all don't know what to do with yourself during the day. When you finally show up, you're like, man, we could have just stayed home and slept. So you sleep here. Praise God. But I like Wednesday nights, and I can't wait to shout in that new facility. But I'm not going to wait to shout until we get there. I'm not going to wait to see revival till we get there. Devil, you're a liar. I know we've lost some, but we baptized some too. I know they're not here, but we baptized some more later. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. We might as well just have a wild time on a Wednesday night. We might as well just have a wild time on a... We just call it Wild Wednesdays. Revival Wednesday. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, say, Pastor, man, just let it go. Well, we were having a visitor that was coming on every Sunday night. We had a shout down. I didn't preach, and they haven't been back since. They didn't like the fact that I didn't preach. They may not have liked what I preached that night. You can't win for losing with some folks. So we're just going to do what I feel in the Holy Ghost, and I'm glad I feel what we feel right now. But I got a word for us. Now it's 8:01. We've been shouting for less than 5 minutes. So it's not too late. Air and Out is open till 1 a.m. Praise God. And that's where I'm going as soon as this is over. Our Wednesday night ritual has become in and out. So you wonder why I'm rushing out the door? I got a double waiting for me. No, just playing. I am going to go eat there after church tonight. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 8. If you have it, say amen. If you don't know where it is, say amen. Well, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? For a great door and effectual is open unto me. I have never known this scripture to be more true than right now. Since we sold that property and bought the new one, things I never would have imagined to take place have taken place. Things that I never thought would have happened have happened. Because there's a great door and effectual. You know what that word great means? You want to know what the Greek translation of it is? Big. That's profound, isn't it? Big. It's a big door. It's a great door. It's an effectual door. It's open unto me. And there are many. Everybody say many. Adversaries, many obstacles, many distractions, many trials, many troubles. But don't forget, the greater the resistance, the greater the revival, the greater the adversity. I know the reverse is true, the greater the revival, the greater the adversity. But can we just say it tonight? The more that comes against us, that means, come on, the more that are fighting us, the more that are coming at us, that means the revival is going to be that much greater. I believe we're going to be building the next building a whole lot quicker than, oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this thought. The adversaries at the door. The adversaries at the door. If you're going to preach with me tonight, lift your voice, lift your hands, and give God glory in the house one more time. Come on, just because he's good, just because he's doing great things, just because he's mighty, come on, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Oh, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight for a great door. I'm waiting right here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not quitting. I'm going to wait right here until Pentecost because there's a great door. Can I just tell the church tonight, we're not going anywhere. We're not giving up. We're not throwing in the towel. We're waiting here till 3,000 pray through. We're waiting here till 120 pray through. We're waiting here till God multiplies the church. We're waiting here till God adds to the church daily as should be saved. We're going to wait right here until revival breaks out. No matter the adversary, no matter the distractions, no matter the troubles. Amen. We're going to wait right here. We're going to tarry right here until Pentecost. When Jesus speaks, adversaries are ashamed. Luke 13:17, and when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I told somebody the other day, a man called me and said, Pastor Bray, I got a question for you. I'm trying to have revival. I'm trying to have growth, but people in the church are causing trouble. People in the church are causing issues. Now, I kind of felt like David. David could always answer everybody else's troubles, but he couldn't answer his own house's troubles. And so when I told him, I said, you know what? Let revival roll on. The greatest response to a critic is revival. The greatest response to trouble is revival. Let the revival do the speaking. Let the miracle do the talking. If people raise their head up against the church, let the church roll on and let revival. Because when revival happens, adversaries are ashamed. When healings take forth, adversaries are ashamed. When revival breaks out, adversaries have to stand back and watch the wondrous, glorious work of Jesus. Because he said, if they're your adversary, I'll make them my adversary. If they're your enemy, Jesus said, I'll make them my enemy. Can I tell you, if you want to come against the church, you're on the wrong side. Because Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You can't have my God. I'm not going to do the devil's business tonight. I'm going to be on Jesus' side. I'm going to be on the side of revival. And what happens is when you settle it in your heart, Luke 21:14, and don't worry about what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth of wisdom. Where's Kondra? It took his wisdom out of his mouth. We'll find out. Which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Well, you must be doing something wrong now that revival's breaking out. You must be doing something. You must be cutting corners now that revival's breaking out. You must be doing something. Hey, can I tell you, there may be a lot of things we're doing wrong. I may not be a perfect man or a perfect husband or a perfect father, and I'm not a perfect pastor, but we are building a building for Jesus. We do own property. Something's going right. I may be falling face first, but I'm falling forward. I'm not falling backward. And let the enemies talk. Oh, I feel revival in the house tonight. Amen. Well, I took the church in Canada. I don't want to preach long, but I want to tell this story. When I took the church in Canada, there were folks on both sides of the aisle, so to speak. There were those that were considered liberal. There were those that were considered conservative. And none of them liked me. This not liking me is not a new thing. Someone said, I don't like you. Well, get in line. It's a long line. You get in the back. I hope you brought a lunch. Well, what'd you say? I called my pastor and said, what do I do? The conservatives think I'm too liberal, and the liberals think I'm too conservative. What do I do? He said, you must be doing something right when you got both sides agreeing. Can I tell you something? You're never going to please everybody. You're never going to try to. If you try to please everybody, you won't please God. I'm going to tell you, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't know if I'm liberal or conservative. All I know is this. I want to preach the word of God and let the. If they can't have anything to say, then I'm not worried about it. But here it is. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation. That means our behavior, to behave as a citizen. Only let your conversation be as it is becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together, not striving with each other, but striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Can I tell you, when we're in one spirit, when we're in one mind, when we're striving lawfully together, when there's not strife and envies against us and amongst us, but we're working together. Hey, let me tell you, I want you to prosper. I want you to grow. Your growth doesn't affect me. Your prosperity doesn't hurt me. It only makes us stronger. I'm going to tell you, I want everybody to be blessed. I want everybody to do well in the work. I want everybody to be risen up and lift up, because if we're in one spirit and one mind, amen, amen, nothing, not even one thing, no thing, be terrified. I'm not frightened. I'm not expressing absolute denial. I won't be denied. I won't take no for an answer. I mean, how many months did we fight the city? And they wouldn't even return phone calls or emails. How many months did we get down to where we needed an answer today? And I know we got the answer a month ago, but we know about it now. But after all that, after all the questions, after all the prayers, after all the worry, one email. Why are you fighting? Because you never know when everything's going to turn. You never know when everything's going to change. The Bible said, and suddenly. That means from one step to another. Can I tell you, we didn't know it was a... We did not know we had the answer a month ago, but we kept on walking, we kept on working, we kept on doing, and we weren't afraid that God was going to work it out, and God worked it out before we figured it out. Come on, somebody, work together. Get in one mind and one accord in one place and watch God declare and watch God give the evidence and watch God give the proof. It's to their loss. It's to their ruin. It's to their destruction. But to us, it's salvation and that of God. To us. I don't know what to answer, but I know this. I was lost, but now I'm found. All I know is this. We were asking for a number, and that's what we got. We were asking for an answer, and that's what we got. Our citizenship is here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm not against. We need to. We need to strive to make more money. We need to strive to have better jobs. We need to strive, but we're not striving. Our only competition ought to be ourselves and who we were yesterday. You know what makes young men? You know what makes young men wanna do better? The people, or do worse? The people they hang out with. The people you choose to hang out with, the people you choose to run with, will either cause you to want to be better or worse. The people that you choose to have in your circle of friends will either challenge you to be better or they'll let you be worse. I want to surround myself with people who push me. I'm not against small churches. I'm not against small church mentality if that works for them. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to surround myself with revivalists. I want to surround myself with people who see buildings and growth and campuses and more opportunity, because that's souls. It's not just a building. It's souls. Those 200 chairs that are stored in that storage, that's 200 souls. That represents souls. And we want to get more. I want to surround myself with people who don't say, you got a good living, you're comfortable, just stay where you are. No, I want to be more. I want to be pushed. I want to be a citizen of a culture that strives for excellence. I want to, if I'm going to have adversity, I want people around me that have pushed through adversity. Push through struggles. I was thinking about today. I dreamed about sheetrock last night. I'm not even joking. All night. I went to bed thinking about it. I thought about it in my sleep, and I woke up thinking about it. And when I woke up, I wanted to go there and do drywall. I told my wife, I said, I was semi-joking last night when I told the men we're going to cancel church and just have a drywall party. And then today when people were calling me, telling me they were sick, I said, I should have just had a drywall party. I'd have been happier. I want to get this thing done. But I didn't do it by myself. I can't do it alone. I don't care. I don't care. One person in here cannot do it by themselves. I want to be a part of a citizenship. I want to be a part of a culture that works together, that strives together, that pushes one another and pulls one another. Hey, you can't get over a wall by yourself. You got to have somebody help you up. And then the person that helped all them up sometimes needs a hand up themselves. Why? Because there's adversaries. There's adversaries at the door. And we need one another to get where God wants us to be, to get your family where God wants you to be. You need a brother. You need a sister. Amen. Paul reminds us that the church is of a higher citizenship in the kingdom of God. Paul's primary concern is that they stand fast in one spirit. It reflected a military pride. Roman armies stood together at the ready of combat regardless of the enemy's level of strength and preparedness or the distracting influence of culture. I got a picture on my phone. I got a text with my sons, and it's called Bray Boys, and I got a picture of them, and it's the night that we preached about staying in the gap and making up the hedge, and they're locked arm in arm. Because we can't do this by ourselves. We ought to be each other's biggest cheerleaders. We ought to be each other's biggest support. We ought to be each other's biggest backers. Hey, you got a new job? Congratulations. That's awesome. If God can do it for you, he can do it for me. You got a new home? Congratulations. I'm not in envy against you. I'm not striving against you. I don't got time to preach all I feel in my spirit, but I'm going to tell you something. A bunch of poor people can't accomplish very much in a city, but a bunch of blessed people. And I don't have to be top dog. I don't have to be the richest man in the church. I don't have to be the best man in the church. I want us all strive. Come on, we're doing this because there's adversaries at the door. We believe this because there's adversaries. The church must manifest the same readiness of one spirit expressed in the believer's unified attitude, one mind. That means same soul. Meaning the believers share the life. This is our life. This is not something I do on Wednesday nights and Sundays. This is my life. If I wasn't at the church every night working, I'd be doing something for God every night. Right now, this is just where it is. But I've been doing this a long time. This is my life. Yes, I have hobbies. And yes, I like the other things. But that's exactly what they are. They're hobbies. This is my life. And if you get a bunch of people who made up their mind, this is my life, then there is no devil in hell. There is no adversary that can stand against the church. That's in one spirit and one mind, striving. Striving comes from an athletic term, meaning when teams contended for a prize. Standing firm involves working together. Harmony, not individualism, achieves God's purpose. Well, I'm my own man. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Someone bought you the boots. Someone gave you a reason to pull you. Someone gave you an example to pull yourself up. And harmony, working together, communicating, being on the same page. It achieves God's purpose. Standing together also involves not being terrified by your brother. Oh no, they're surpassing me. They're getting better than me. They're making more money than me. That's envy. That's jealousy. That's strife. I'm going to tell you who my two best friends were in my local church. The assistant to the pastor and my brother-in-law, both who made twice as much money as I did. They went places, did things I couldn't afford to do, but they were still my friends. Why? Because they were the men that were just a little bit older than me that had been there and attained and achieved. And that was my focus. I wasn't looking at my peers. I wasn't looking at those that did. I wasn't even looking at older men who hadn't succeeded. I wanted to find somebody who had been there, done that, and patterned my life after them. I knew that if I surround myself with people who accomplish, my brother-in-law became a journeyman electrician before we even knew what a journeyman was. He got involved, and my other brother-in-law owned a business, and the assistant pastor was doing the things that he was doing because he wasn't satisfied with being raised as a bus kid, because that's where he came from. He was a business owner. He was a go-getter. I said, that's who I want to be around because I know where I came from. I know what it's like where I came from. I want to surround myself myself with people, and they pulled me up. And I stand here tonight, not on my own, but because I surrounded myself with people who said, there's adversaries at your door. There's adversaries at your door. You need to put yourself behind it. A friend loveth at all times. Hear this. A friend loveth at all times. But I'm tired. I'm cranky. I'm tired of these long days. Me too, Grandpa. Keep on digging. I'm tired of it too. But guess what? Stop it now. Means we're going to be tired of it a lot longer. Slowing down now means we're going to be tired of it a lot longer. It's when we get in this moment where we can see the end that we forget, we cast off weariness. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, you're going to shout in the new building if you faint not. But a friend loves at all times. I'm gonna be there for you, and you're going to be there for me, and we're going to have church together. We're going to pray that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know what I need? You know what you need? You need a brother or a sister to lock arms with. Not lock horns with. Lock arms with. I can't do this by myself. I'm about to give out. I'm about to give up. I'm about to throw in the towel. But if I got a brother or a sister that can lock arms with me and love me at all times and be there for adversity and be there in the hard times and be there when the enemy's knocking at my door and saying, I got your back, I'm with you. Yeah, we may have our bumps in my God. Come on, the Holy Ghost wants us to preach this tonight. A friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for, I'm not bagging on you. I'm not beating on you. I'm here for you. I'm backing you up. I got your back. See, our adversary is clearly pointed out to us in the Bible. The writer of Isaiah records this. Who is my adversary? There's more to that scripture than that. He said, let him come forward. That's not the point I want to make tonight. The question was, who is my adversary? Well, Peter answered that question. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil. Can I just tell somebody tonight, your adversary is not your brother or your sister. It's not your son or your daughter. It's not your ex-spouse. It's not your ex-wife or ex-husband. It's not your neighbor, your boss, your coworker. It's not even your past. Your adversary is the devil. Our adversary is the devil. It may come out every once in a while like it's a brother or a sister. There may be a cranky night. They may be feeling their oats a little bit at times. But it's easy to point the finger at somebody you can see. Then give the blame to the devil where it belongs. The Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren. You know how many times I've been told what I should be doing while I'm the pastor? You know how many times my wife has been told that what we're doing is wrong as a pastor's wife? If we got offended every time someone told us we're doing it wrong, we'd be offended all the time. I just got to ask myself this question. If we're so wrong, why are we in this position? And if you think we're wrong and you want to do it better, we got applications at the office. I'll give you the position for a month, and you'll come. Moses, we want to talk to God. I've heard so many times that people, God spoke directly to people and it was so against his word and so against his ordained way. We want to talk to God. Moses, you don't speak for us. Then God spoke to him. They said, Moses, you go talk to him. Go listen to Brother McKillop's podcast on the filter. Thank God for the filter. Because when God spoke, when the Holy Ghost spoke to Ananias and Sapphira without the filter. Oh, come on now. Our parking lot guy, our plumber the other day said, she said, I'm going to work at Micro and I'm quitting. I said, you can't quit till I quit, and I ain't quitting. And I told him, I said, that's what happened with God and Moses. They both got in the killing business. They both got in the killing mood. But thank God they didn't get in the killing mood on the same day. Even God said, Moses, your people, they're rebellious and stiff-necked. I'm going to kill them all. Moses said, kill me instead. Then one day Moses said, God, you're stiff-necked, rebellious people. I'm going to kill them all. And God said, oh, no, no, Moses. Wait, relax. Chill out. Take a chill pill. Every once in a while, everybody wants to quit. Everybody has bad days. And you're not the exception. Everyone has days they want to throw in the towel. And you're not the exception. But what you need to remember is my brother and my sister is not my adversary. It's that old lying devil. It's that distracting devil. I may be able to yell at my brother who's sitting right here, but it's the devil that's causing the trouble. It's the flesh that's causing the trouble. It may come out on one side or the other. They may use my humanity every once in a while. Every once in a while, I'm going to have humanity come out and be on the outside. But don't a house, my God, a house divided cannot stand. Take away what it really is. It's the enemy of our soul. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be aware that the devil, the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And if someone stand alone because nobody else is good enough, someone stand alone because everybody does it wrong, someone stand alone because they don't fit in, they don't belong, someone stand alone because I'm never going to be like them, I'm always going to be the outcast, is exactly who he's looking for. But someone surrounded by brothers and sisters who were born for this. Someone standing arm in arm with a brother or a sister. Someone close to the herd. Someone close to the flock. Someone close to the shepherd. That roaring lion takes a wide breath around. That roaring lion looks out there and says, nope, nope, nobody available tonight. Nobody available in that church. I would to God that there was not one soul that the devil thought they could devour. I would to God there was not one soul in this church that the devil thought he could devour. Let's stand to our feet tonight. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 11. For both he that satisfieth and they, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Talking about Jesus. He sanctified us, and we and him are one. Insomuch, the Bible goes on to say, strengthened for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He looks at us and says, I know what you're going through. I've been there. I was tempted in all points like you are. Yet without sin. So this is how we do it, church. How do we face the adversary at the door? Number one, we get in one mind. We get in one spirit. We strive together, not against. And Jesus gave us the example because he knows what it's like to be a brother. Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you. Can I just tell you tonight? The devil wants to eat your lunch. The devil wants to take your deliverance. The devil wants to take your victory. The devil wants to take your Holy Ghost. The devil wants to take your life for God and destroy it and sift through it and take all the good and leave you nothing but bad. He desires to sift you. He desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. But I have prayed for thee. I tell you tonight, this is how we take care of the adversary at the door. Pray one for another. Fast one for another. Come on, I'm praying everybody in this house that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, when you get the victory, when you get brought back, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen. Come on, somebody. You're on the verge of quitting. You're on the verge of throwing in the towel. You're on the verge of giving up because of some distraction of the enemy, the adversary at the door. But we are praying tonight. We are praying tonight. We are praying. Come on, lay your hand on somebody right now. If it's appropriate, grab their hand. Lay it on their shoulder. Pray with somebody right now. Come on, the devil's going to use every distraction he can. You don't fit in. You don't belong. You don't understand my past. I'm going to tell you something. Your past is forgiven. Your past is washed away. It's under the blood. Don't let the enemy bring up your past that you got a brother or a sister praying for you tonight. Come on, you got a brother or a sister praying for you tonight. One accord in one place, one mind, one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Come on, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. What could happen in this house tonight? The adversary is at the door, but so is revival. So is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Come on, don't let the devil use anything. Don't let the devil use your past. Don't let the devil use your brother. Don't let the devil use your sister. Don't let the devil use anything to cause you to give up on the revival that God's promised you, on the deliverance that you've already received. Come on, you're my brother, you're my sister. Take me by the hand. Together we'll work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we can stand. Come on, we can get through this. We can make it through it. We can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Come on, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. It forces much. It fights much. Come on, surround yourself with people that challenge you, that don't let you stay where you are, but push you and pull you if need be. Drag you if need be. I want to read this scripture tonight. I threw this kind of in here at the end. Didn't know if I was going to use it or not, but I think it's fitting tonight. Psalm 55 and 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then would I have hid myself from him. I could hide myself from enemies. I could hide myself from adversaries. But Brother Lloyd, with friends like that, who needs enemies? We tease each other. Well, all of us at the job tease each other all the time. And it's all, I hope it's all good fun and play and just being working together, do it all the day at work and hope that's what it is. But sometimes people use those opportunities, those moments, to say how they really feel. And you can tell because there's a difference in their tone, there's a difference in their look, there's a difference in their eye. And it bothers you and it cuts deep because it was not an enemy. It was not an adversary. I'll be honest, I've said this before, I've been told things by people in this church that if I would have said the reverse to them, they probably would have backslid or quit going to church. But those same things being said by somebody out in the world, don't even think anything of it. I told my wife on the way to church, my pastor wasn't mean. He was straightforward. But there were just certain things some of us that were involved in a part of, we just wouldn't do. If he said that's the way we want it done, we didn't argue the point. That's what he wants done. If we figure out a better way to do it later, we'll figure it out later. But can we do that to each other? Because this is what the Bible goes on to say. But it was thou, mine equal, mine acquaintance, my guide. We took counsel together. We walked to the house of God in company. Can I just say this tonight? Don't be the friend that's always got to say something mean. Don't be the one that's got to play devil's advocate. Don't be the one that's got to be the one that lifts up. Be the one that supports. Be the one that if you say something funny in a joking way, everybody knows you're joking. Don't call lazy people lazy and say you're joking. Call someone like Caleb lazy. Then everybody knows you're telling the truth. See how that works? We know he's not. He's wanting to get there at 4 o'clock in the morning and start mudding the sheetrock. Relax. This is not your burden alone. Because you know what that makes me want to do? If he wants to show up at 4, I got to show up at 4 and be a good brother. I said, Vinny asked me the other night, what time are we going to be at the church? I said, 4:30. He walked out when he saw me pull up. He said, in the morning? I said, are you going to be there at 4:30? He said, no. I said, me either. Sleep till 4, like Bo, and we'll get there at 4:30. Oh, that was too close to home. You can still have fun and support one another. You can still have a good time and they know. Can I just say this? You have no credibility if you don't have accountability. If you can't take it, don't say it. If you wouldn't want it to be done unto you, don't do it to somebody else. If you don't have anything nice to say, what's the rest of it? Don't say anything at all. Just be there for them. I have found this, sometimes the best answer is no answer. Because what's going through my mind maybe shouldn't go in a text. Maybe shouldn't go in a response. Because I want to help. I want to win the soul, not the argument. Oh, that's good. I want to make sure I don't withdraw out of an account that I'm not putting into. Because there's going to be a day I'm going to need somebody I think I don't need. There's going to be a day when I got to make a phone call to someone, ask for help. I didn't think I'd ever need their help. And I'd rather eat humble pie every day, a little bit at a time, than the whole thing at once. Because a brother's born for adversity. They may be my biggest ally. We ought to be each other's biggest allies. We ought to be each other's biggest supporters. Because we're doing this together for each other. Our families are going to worship in that building. Our families are going to see this church grow. Our families are going to see revival in Jesus' name. Oh, let's lift our hands all over this house. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to say this last thing before we leave tonight. If there is somebody that you feel has ought against you, or if you're honest with yourself, you know you have ought against somebody else. That means an angst. That means a disagreement, a whatever. The Bible says, go to that person and make it right. Go privately and make it right. Now, if someone comes to you, this is the most awkward thing ever. Is there any problems? And your cop-out response is, no, there's no problem, and there is. That's a lie. Not only is it on you, it's not going to get fixed. And if it can't be talked about, it can't be worked out. So if you're having a bad day and you say something and someone comes to you and say, hey, what did you mean by that? I've been trying to listen to some leadership and some how to respond to people things. And one guy said the quickest way to respond to an offensive statement is, what did you mean by that? Let it be on them. What did you mean by that? And then at the end of the day, here's the deal. At the end of the day, we got to work through it. I got to be saved. I got to be saved. I want to be saved. And I'm not going to be lost because someone was offended at me and I wouldn't tell them that I was sorry, or I was offended at somebody and I wouldn't go to them. Were you looking all around? I'm looking all around. I'm making sure I don't catch eyes with anybody. Praise God. A brother is born for adversity and the adversaries are at the door. I want somebody standing with me. I want somebody on my side. I want somebody standing arm in arm with me. Praise God. One more time, lift your hands all over this house. Come on, he's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We magnify you, Savior. Won't it be wonderful there? Come on, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Come on, isn't it great to see the revival that God is bringing us and shouting together and worshiping together? Who wouldn't want to have a church like this? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's be back Sunday night. Invite someone to the house of God. Let's have revival. Those of you that are working at the church, be faithful. Man, it'd be great if everybody get there as early as possible. I got to eat dinner. I got to do whatever. We all do. But sometimes we just got to wait. So whatever you got to do. Someone can bring us pizza or Taco Bell or something. Don't bring us Taco Bell. Born for adversity. Praise God. But we'll make it happen. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I just hope it's not a train. If it is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Greet somebody tonight. Before you leave, God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.